I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Boom, and we're back. What's up, everybody? It's your coach. If you haven't yet, please subscribe, show love to the podcast, give your feedback, rate us, greatly appreciated. The number one positive podcast on the internet by far is this one. Today on the show, not only is it a special guest, but he's doing a special thing for you guys. So I'm going to give it to you right now. We're not going to delay it. We're going to give it to you right now. Today's guest started the Daisy May Hats Company, the best hats in the game. I'm going to be rocking one soon. I strongly recommend that if you're in the hat game, or want to venture out into the hat game, this is the guy. And I'm not talking baseball cap. I'm talking about cool hats. His Instagram is at Daisy May Hat Co. DaisyMayHatCo. All his hats are handmade, hand-shaped, hand-stitched. He only uses 100% rabbit, 100% beaver felt. Every hat is 100% custom, which I think is cool. I've seen people with off-white colors, this colors, matte black, matte gray, like these dyes, everything customized. Super, super, super cool. He never makes the same hat twice. You can check him out at daisymayhats.com, DaisyMayHats.com. He's giving all the listeners, all the Coach HP listeners, 50% off when you listen to this podcast and you put in code HP15. That's right, HP15. You'll get 50% off any item on the website. Any item on the website, 50% off. Daisy May Hat Co. I love it. I'm going to rock it. I've never worn this type of hat before, so I'm excited for the new look. To expand my game, you got to expand your game. You can't be the same thing. You got to switch it up every once in a while. So super pumped for that. Again, Daisy May Hat Company, DaisyMayHats.com, Daisy May Hat Co. on Instagram. Let's get right into it. On today's show, the creator of Daisy May Hats, my man Gage, putting hats on everybody from my boy Brandon Schaub to ZZ Top. Let's go. Three, two, one, boom, Gage, we're on. Dude, how does one get a name like Gage, man? I love guys that have cool names. My name sucks, bro, but Gage is a cool one. How do you get a name like that?
My mother was a big Stephen King fan, like before I was born, right? So she read all the Stephen King books. And so actually the story goes that my dad was not a huge Stephen King fan. And my mom was like, we're going to name him Gage because from Pet Sematary was the book that she liked. And so, she would like read Pet Sematary all the time, whatever. And she's like, I'm going to name him Gage. And my dad's like, hell no. So the story goes, I almost left the hospital without a name because they couldn't.
What's your dad's name?
His name is Shane. So
it's not bad. Shane's not bad, but Gage is strong, dude. Have you always liked it?
Yeah. It's my middle name. My first name is William. But I've never gone by William or Will any time in my life, right? It's always been Gage. So like, I remember, like, you know, like in high school or something, they'd be like, hey, William Spees, the front office. And I would just sit there and my teacher, really? Like, hey, dude, they're talking to you. I'm like, oh yeah. Okay. I got, yeah, that's my name. Cool. You know,
bro, that is awesome. And you grew up in New Mexico.
I grew up in New Mexico, man. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What raised, part of New Mexico?
It's a small little cow town outside Albuquerque, like 30 miles east, called Edgewood.
Have you ever been to Las Cruces?
Dude, I used to ride bulls out in Las Cruces.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then I went to Warped Tour. Warped Tour was always in Las Cruces, you know?
What is Warped Tour? What is that?
Warped Tour is like a – they stopped doing it a couple of years ago, but it was a big tour with like metal bands and like hardcore bands and pop bands. So Vans Shoes is called the Vans Warped Tour. And they used to go set up at like different colleges or where you know – state fair areas or whatever, and there'd be you know, six or seven semis that were all that folded out into stages, so it was really, that's where I kind of came from. I came from the metal world. I toured in a metal band for like 10 years before I started.
That I know, that's when you had the long hair.
That's when I had the long hair
too. Which I want to get into that, but let's talk bull riding, bro.
Okay,
is that something your pops did? Or did you just start doing that because it was like a cool thing to do or something?
Yeah, I literally did it because it was like a cool thing to do. My buddy back home in high school was like, hey, dude, we're gonna do bull riding. It's gonna be awesome. And I was like, you're out of your mind. You're crazy. This is in high school. And he's like, just do it once. Just do it one time. Just so, you know, on your deathbed, you could say, hey, I rode bulls one time. And I was like, okay, let's do it. You know, so I practiced. I did the whole thing for like 6 months before I ever got in a bull. And then I did it, and I went a full 8 seconds, my first bull, and I was hooked. I couldn't get enough of it. You know,
dude, so. Talk to me about that. When you're on the bull, does it make weird noises? Does it move around? How does that go?
Yeah,
it moves around, but like the pre-thing, how does that work?
Yeah, so you lower yourself down in the chute, right? And then you have a guy pulling your rope, and then you have a spotter. So one guy's always has his hand across your vest. So if the bull ever bucks forward in the chute, they save you from like your face hitting that front bar. Right.
Wow.
So, and you got one guy and you're like, all right, go tighter, tighter, tighter. That's good. Then you grab it and you take your wrap. But I mean, really all I used to hear when, you know, you nod or, you know, okay, let's go boys, whatever, right? Whatever the theatrics are, whatever the cowboy wants to do, you know, the gate swings open and the bull jumps out and it's up and down, or it's called making a well, where it starts spinning in a circle, right? And so the more rank your bull is, or the more mean your bull is, that's when you get the most points, right? Because you want a real rank bull that's going to spin and do all the tricks, you know. So I only rode a couple bulls that, you know, made the well, and if they made the well, I always fell into it and got kicked. So
dude, what made the bull more matter? Someday you did, or just the bull itself had that personality?
Well, it's called a flank strap. So if you ever watch bull riding, there's two ropes. There's the rope that the bull rider is holding on to, and there's one that goes, and it's pretty much like, not to be graphic, but it cinches up like the line where the bull's penis and like,
oh my God, no.
So it makes it uncomfortable for the bull, right? And then also you have spurs on. And so when that bull is bucking, you want to spur the bull, right?
Oh.
And you keep adjusting to get a good hold on the bull. So you're always moving your hips and stuff like that. So, and there's a bell on the bottom of your rope. So between the bull feeling uncomfortable and that bell just dinging the whole time, the bull's like, what, dude, get this guy
off
my back. You know, this sucks, you know? So
Gage, what's harder, bulls or broncos?
Oh, see, I would say broncs. I never rode horses. I'm tall. I'm 6 foot. Right. And so I'm pretty tall for a bull rider. So my bull riding coach always wanted to push me towards, you know, like bareback bronc riding or saddleback, stuff like that. And I watched that one time and I was like, you can't pay me enough to.
Because horses are faster. They're stronger. It's like they're more agile. You know, I think they're taller.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, you get bucked off a horse, you can, you know, you go pretty high in the air. You know what I mean? But Yeah, that's crazy, bro. I never had a.
let's talk about. You live in Nashville now.
Mm-hmm.
New Mexico. Where do you prefer, Nashville or New Mexico?
Well, you know, I it's one of those things where as you get older and you look back, you know, where were you raised?
Dude, I was born in Cuba, but I was raised in Miami.
You're still in Florida, right?
But my trajectory is crazy. I went from Cuba to Spain, Spain, Miami, played baseball here, biggest failure in the history of Miami baseball. Then I went to a school for a little bit in North Carolina, came back to Miami, finished here.
Okay.
Lived in Los Angeles.
Okay.
For 6 years, slept in a car for 6 months in Los Angeles. Wow. Lived in Los Angeles for 6 years, then lived in Las Vegas in the nightclub business for 4 years. Then I came back to marry the love of my life here in Miami 4 years ago, I think. So now I'm back in Miami, bro.
So now you're back in Miami. Yeah. Okay. So I would say, you know, when you leave home, you're growing up in a spot, right? I can't get out of here soon enough, you know, and I was in a small town. I was like, I got to get out of here. I got to go on the road. I got to tour. I got to see the world. And now as, you know, as an adult, as a 30-year-old dude, I look back on New Mexico and I'm like, man, I'd really like to go back home. And
it wasn't
and
go, that bad?
You know, and maybe, you know, get a little ranch out there or something, you know.
Right.
But I love Nashville, man. Nashville, I've been here for almost 10 years. And it's, you know, part of what makes me, you know, made me who I am, right? And I you know, I we used to tour and stuff, and we just come through Nashville, play some shows or whatever, right? And I'd be like, man, and you go out to Broadway and go see the bars and whatever, and I just always just go, man, if I could ever move anywhere, I'd move to Nashville. Just
really,
just because I loved it. Yeah, I just loved it. I loved the nightlife. I liked the people. And then it just kind of came to a point where, you know, I had a little bit of money in my pocket and I got a little pickup truck and I threw a futon mattress and a skateboard and a duffel bag in the back. And I drove out here at 4 a.m. from New Mexico.
And you made the move.
I made the move, man. Yeah.
Bro, I was in Nashville for the first time this past January for the ABCA, which is the American Baseball Coaches Association, the big baseball convention.
Okay.
And it was at the Gaylord Palms.
Yeah.
And I literally went from the airport to the Gaylord Palms, did the whole convention for 3 days because I stayed there 2 days. And then I came back, bro. I saw nothing.
Nothing.
Of Nashville, bro. But yeah. I've heard good things, man. I've heard good things. Let's talk about the long hair, bro. So you were in a band, right?
Yeah.
I think you're one of the few dudes because I see you now. Obviously, the main part of this is you're in the hat world now, which is phenomenal. I think the type of hats that you make really look good with dudes that have long hair because it flows in the back and all that stuff, whatever. Do you miss your long hair at all?
Oh, sometimes I do, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Why'd you cut it?
I just got tired of waking up with hair in my face all the time. You know, my hair was like down to here. And I was just like, man, I'd like to get out of the shower and not have wet hair for like an hour. You know, I'd like to just have dry hair, and I needed a change. I wanted something different, you know? And so before I started my business, I've had like a million different jobs, right? I've just never been good at having a boss. That's like my failure. But I was working at a collision center, and I went and took a lunch. And I just went to the barber shop that my friend owned, and I was like, hey, can you give me a haircut? He's like, yeah, you want a trim? I go, nope, just take the whole thing. Just do something different. And I think I showed him like a picture of like Brad Pitt from Fury. And that's what everyone was showing, right? Like 5 years ago. I was like, dude, maybe look like Brad Pitt, you know? So that's what he did, man. And I came back and I literally walked back into the office, and this dude, like my boss, was like, hey, can I help you? I was like, it's me. What are you doing? He's like, oh, my God. Bro. Like, what happened? I went and took a lunch break.
and now you still rock the same haircut?
Yeah, I got like a mullet right now. I just kind of slick it back whenever I do like my hair, which isn't very often. especially during the Christmas season, as I'm working crazy hours, you know, I just kind of throw one of my beanies on or a hat and just kind of get to the grind, you know.
Gage, so. you mentioned the music business, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The beauty, I would think, looking at from the outside in, I have zero music talent at all. But understanding that business and what you're doing now, the beauty of making a product and making a good custom product, which what you have now is, that's almost like you know, you have a feeling inside mm-hmm. that it's going to hit. You don't know when it's going to hit, but you know it's going to hit. The mm-hmm. music stuff is different because especially probably if let's say you were doing what music, what was it, 10 years ago you were doing music?
I was doing music up to 3 years ago.
3 years ago. So yeah. Maybe you're around still with the YouTube phase, so you still had the mm-hmm. social media stuff like that. But I would think it'd be easier to do the hat stuff versus the music stuff. Does that make any sense at all or no?
Oh, it makes complete sense, yeah. And you know, I'm pretty much like a one-man show. I have a couple of consultants and things like that, and a dude that helps my emails, websites, right? But when you're in a band, I mean, it takes a small army. You know, I lived in a van and I was married to four other dudes, is how I always say it, right? And everybody in the you know, you have a record label, you have a booking agent, you have a lawyer, you have managers, and they're all like, this is it. This we want, you know, we're thinking this direction. And then you take this culmination of songs and you turn it in and you're like, hey, this is what we were thinking. And we would think, you know, song X is the first single and then song B is the second single. And they're like, well, we actually maybe thought something like this was like more of this kind of thing. And you know, it's hard. I don't know how dudes that have been in bands for like 30 years. I'm like, I don't know how you guys do it, you know, because I don't know, living in a van, like our last tour, our van got broken into and our money bag was like stolen the day before we were going to go to the bank and go deposit like cash. And it's, you know, you're in a van and you're, you know, sometimes you drive 4 hours to a show, or sometimes, you know, there've been routes where it's like, hey, you have 3 days to get from, you know, from Texas, to Seattle, Washington. Right. Yeah. Or whatever. And you're just driving all through the night, all day. And that's it just takes a toll on you, you know. And I'd gotten to the point where I was like, I'm just pretty tired of this, you know. But yeah.
Was music your passion?
It was for a long time. Yeah. I mean, ever since I was a little boy, I mean, like 10 years old, you know, I started going to shows when I was probably 12 or 13. Right. I grew up in, like really small church, and one of the girls who went there, her boyfriend had long hair and played guitar and was in a local band, and I just thought he was the coolest dude ever. His name was JD, shout out to that guy. And he was, you know, when I was in like whatever middle school or something, you know, he was like already in college. My parents would take me to town and I'd go stay the night at his apartment. And like we would go to shows on Friday, right? So that was my weekend for years. It was like my dad would give me $20, $10 to get into the show, and $10 to get a T-shirt from the band, right? And
nice, man.
Man, yeah, I love music. I loved always writing songs and poetry and reading poetry. And when I started going to shows, I was really into heavy music, right? I loved, you know, like these like bands like Blindside or like real hardcore bands like Refused or Earth Crisis, like whatever, right? Whatever the band was. But you know, you got these dudes on stage screaming and you're in this packed room of like 150 kids and we're all losing our minds. And I was like, man, I'd never heard anything like it. I'd never seen anything like it.
Right, right, right.
And that changed my life where I was like, I have to be that guy. Like, and it's the reason why I still wear tight pants and flannels to this day, you know.
Dude, when you mentioned something there interesting, man.
Mm-hmm.
Your pops.
Mm-hmm.
That the fact that pops not only hooks you up to go to the concert but gives you money to buy a shirt, man.
Yeah.
That tells me he's a cool dude.
Oh.
Did you know that growing up? Do you still have a good relationship with your dad?
I do. Yeah. My dad's like my best friend. I mean, I literally call my dad every other day. We just to be like, hey man, it's snowing out, you know what I mean? Or, oh, hey, yeah, I went hunting this weekend, you know, whatever. But my dad has always been supportive, and we didn't grow up in like, you know, I grew up in a double wide trailer, you know what I mean? And my dad worked on the Air Force base. My dad's a scientist. He built like one of the biggest lasers in the world. His picture's hanging now in the Smithsonian Museum in DC. But it was always cool because growing up, it was, you know, hardcore music and skateboarding, right? And I mean, it was like once a month, my skateboard broke, and he'd be like, all right, you gotta wait 2 weeks and get your new one, you know? And it got to the point where I couldn't buy like the brand name skateboards because I was running through them so much that he's like, no, you need to get like the, whatever the skate shop is, the blank one, you know? And so the $50 one, you got to cut it down to the $30 board. Cause it's, right. He's like, and you grind the picture off on the bottom anyways, you know? But yeah, man, he's always been super supportive. And you know, one story that comes to mind right now as you bring it up was I was working for a band called O Sleeper. They were a band out of Dallas, Fort Worth. And they got me, my band was called To Speak of Wolves, right? And we're on a record label called Solid State with O Sleeper. And To Speak of Wolves, they needed a singer. And O Sleeper set up that, they set that appointment up for me, I guess, right? My tryout. And I was at home in between some tours. And I told my dad, I was like, hey, I want to go to North Carolina and, you know, try this out. And I think I was 19 years old, and I'd always come home and just burn all my money from tour, you know? And, I go, hey, you know, will you buy me a plane ticket to North Carolina? And he's like, yeah, okay. I'll buy you a plane ticket. You know, he's like, how long you gone for? And I go, I'm gone for good. Just buy me a one-way ticket because I'm going to make this happen. Like I'm going to make this band. I'm going to try out and I'm going to make it. And he was like, you sure? Like, you sure you don't want like a safety net? And I was like, nope, just buy me a one-way ticket. And he did. He bought me a one-way ticket, man. Like that night.
How old were you?
I was 19 years old. Damn. Yeah, I was 19. And he's that dude's been like my biggest cheerleader. You know what I mean? He's just been so rad.
Bro, having a dad so tight, was it hard leaving him?
It was hard when I moved to Nashville, right? Like, and you know, my parents are divorced, right? So they got divorced when I was 18. And that was hard. And that did put like a strain on our relationship for a little while, you know, because it was always like, oh, your dad's a dick, you know, and he's like, oh, your
right,
mom's
right.
And you're this young kid and my brain's not fully developed. And I'm like, I'm surging with emotion and hormones, like who to believe, you know,
right.
But you know, you kind of level out as an adult. But yeah, man, it was hard when I moved to Nashville, when I made that leap, because I was out, I was loading my little truck up and we had dinner together. And I walked out, and it was like the one of three times I'd ever seen my dad cry. And he gave me a big hug.
Really?
And he gave me $200 cash. He goes, hey, this is, you know, this is for you, you know, just put it in your pocket, whatever, you know. And you know, hey, lock your door if you're sleeping at a truck stop. You know, just give me the dad advice, right? And he gave a big hug. I looked back, he was crying. I gave him a big kiss on the cheek and gave each other one big hug. And I remember just driving out of his driveway. And he opened the gate for me, you know, and as I looking through my rear view, turning around, like leaving, you know, I could see him just like, you know, just like waving, you know? So yeah, that was a pretty big monumental moment for our relationship, right? Where he was just like, okay, he's doing it. Like that, you know, he's got to go get his own place. He's got to get a job, because on tour, I kept my room at my dad's house because I was gone 9 to 10 months out of the year. You know, yep. So come home, hang out with dad for a couple of days, and then, you know, be with friends and disappear. Right. And then, you know, from that point on, I had to clean my room, you know,
dude, I bring that up because my dad was the complete opposite, bro. I'd always growing up envision, I go, man, what if me and my dad were the same people, like same vibe, same personality, you know? Yeah. And he was super Latin testosterone dude, wouldn't not break the law, super straight arrow, but just a temper that would fight anybody and he would beat the shit out of me when I would strike out in baseball and I would do bad. And imagine, baseball's real hard. It's a sport that you're destined to fail.
Yeah.
You fail a lot.
Yeah.
And anything that had that involved swag or being cool, my dad was against. So I had to have like a dorky haircut, dorky clothes, because everything was, he didn't want me to pop so I wouldn't mess up my baseball career. So I would be, you know, and what made me popular now is I became kind of like the kid whisperer.
Okay.
Helping parents and kids, especially dads and sons, understand that in the sports crazy world, because in sports it's a little different than music. Music, everybody that's in the arts, kind of, it's usually, especially men, they get it. Unless you're like some crazy, like a mom that's into cheerleading or some crazy thing. But the arts world, the artists get it. But in sports, it's like ego, testosterone. It's a lot of my son has to represent me on the field.
Oh,
so
wow.
The amount of relationships that get ruined by the parent on a sport that your kid's never going to make it, Gage, it becomes so uncomfortable, and the fighting and the back and forth. And what happens is, see, my goal is, my son right now is 3 months old right now. Okay. He looks at me and he smiles, and I have a vibe that me and him have the same temperament. We're chill. Yeah. I just feel it, you know?
Yeah.
My goal is, I almost get goosebumps, that if my son is doing a podcast 30 years from now, and somebody asks him about me, that he would respond the same way that you responded to your dad, bro. That's why, to me, that's so important, man, because however we attack our dreams, right? And what I tell people is, you chose two professions that on the outside in, looking in from the outside, seem very sexy. You know, the band stuff, now the hat stuff, it's sexy. You don't have a boss. You don't punch in a clock, all these things. But what I try to tell people that are chasing passions and chasing their dreams is, it becomes the most loneliest thing that you do.
Oh, God.
Because there isn't a group of guys that are hustling that you can pick up and call and go, hey, bro, so let me ask you a question, man. About 4 years ago, when you were in the grind, that this happened, how did that happen? Like, what were you going through?
Yeah.
That doesn't exist, you know? So my thing is, and I want to see if you agree with this or not, my show started like almost like my talent is finding talent in people and really honestly promoting them in a good way, not in a bullshit kissing ass way. Not on a, just like, I like what I see.
Yeah.
The dude's young. He has talent. Now he has celebrities giving him love. Let me hear your brain. Now let me see what you're thinking when you put that post up. Hey, Brandon Schaub, what happened next week when you were there building a hat and there's nobody there to see it anymore? That's what I care about, bro. So talk to me about that, man.
You know, that was I was fortunate when I met Brendan in my shop here. I'm in this like little two-story house, right? And the dude upstairs, his name is Russ Hickman. He has a tattoo parlor called The Quill. And this was last year. Brendan was like, hey, I'm coming to Nashville. And I've always liked Brendan. I've always followed his UFC. UFC was like huge in my house, right? We always watched it. My grandfather used to rent it from like Hollywood. Remember Hollywood Video?
Yes.
Like rental store? So my grandfather, dude, you know, he would like, we'd be like, oh, you guys got to watch this UFC, man. This shit's crazy. These guys are nuts, you know? And we
Gage, for people that don't know, Hollywood Video is like the Walmart to Blockbuster, right?
Dude, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, anyways, I always kept up with Brendan, and then he made this post. And I want to tell this story because this is how awesome social media can be. Yeah, there's a lot of bullshit with social media, but this is how awesome it can be. I literally just put a comment on Brendan's post. I go, hey, thick boy, come get a custom hat. And that's all I said. And I wasn't expecting anything. And, you know, I checked my phone like 15 minutes later or whatever. And he just goes, dude, DM me. And I was like ecstatic. I couldn't believe it, you know. And my daughter, I was living in like a 2-bedroom apartment at the time, right? And my fiance was a chef, and she was cooking. She was working like night shift at a restaurant, so she was gone from noon to pretty much you know, midnight or, you know, 1 a.m. And so I would go to work or whatever. And anyways, I was like, oh my God. And I'm having this moment where I'm freaking out and I have no one to celebrate with, because like my daughter's sleeping and I'm just out my back porch and I'm like, oh my God, like, this is amazing. I can't believe this. And so I DM like, hey dude, what's up? Like, I saw you come to town. I can meet you and take your template and the stuff. And then Russ, I knew Russ was a fan of Brendan. So I text Russ. I was like, dude, Brendan wrote me back and I might make him a hat. And he goes, oh dude, Brendan's coming to my shop like tomorrow for a tattoo.
Nice.
Just text him and see if, you know, if you can swing by and get his template. I'm like, oh my God, that'd be great. So I called my babysitter at the time. I'm like, hey, tomorrow at this time, can you watch my daughter? And she's like, yeah, for sure. And the day comes and she cancels on me like 20 minutes. Cancel on me like 20 minutes before. And I go, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And so anyways, I go, all right, I grab my daughter and I grab like my backpack and my laptop and like my stack of hat bodies, you know, that that I use to make hats. And I just go, all right, girl, we're going to go meet Brendan Schaub. And I just, this is the uncool part, right? Like, of this story. And so I walk up to this celebrity dude that I'd never met before, and you know, he thinks I have this like cool hat company and I'm like this dude living in an apartment. I don't even have a shop yet. Right.
Right.
And so I come up the stairs and here's me holding my daughter and the stack of hats. And I'm like, hey, what's up, dude? I'm Gage. I own Daisy May Hat Co. I don't even have a shop or anything yet, but I'm going to make you a hat, you know? And he was totally cool about it. I made him a hat, sent it off. It was rad. And then next time he comes back through town, it's like, I'm a little bit more established. You know what I mean? I have a shop. I, you know, I still have his template and all these different things I can make his hat for. And, you know, he sent me up a couple of times. I've made him several hats. I've made his wife a hat, you know, and he's, that dude's the coolest dude ever. You know, I love that guy to death. And what I've found with Brendan, he's extremely loyal, you know, and it's like, that dude can get a hat from anybody. You know what I mean? He doesn't have to get a hat from me, you know, but he chooses to. And I'm just forever grateful, you know.
That is awesome, bro. Was that the first known person that you made a custom hat for?
I made a hat like I worked at a hat shop here in Nashville for a few years. And then it was just kind of a volatile play, you know, just, you know, it's kind of a volatile place to work. And I just was like, I don't like having a boss.
Right.
So I quit and I went home that day. And keep in mind, like, my daughter is like barely a year old. Right. And wow. I call my fiance. I'm like, I just quit. I quit the shop. And she's like, just start a GoFundMe and see if you can raise some money. Like, just start Daisy May. Like, it was my dream to start Daisy May. She's like, just get Daisy May started. And I was like, I don't know. I don't want to do a GoFundMe. I don't want to ask people for money. She's like, well, you got to figure something out, because you got to, you know, we got bills and you got to have a job. And so I called a good friend of mine, and he's just the friend that was like, you know, he was married first. He had a house first. He's owned his own business and he's always done very well. Right. And he's very frugal. And I call him for these types of things. And he's always the friend that asks you hard questions that you're like, yes, I love you, but I hate that you asked me this, because that means that they recognize something within myself. Right. Yes. And so I go, this is the situation. I tell him what happened. He goes, okay, you just had a daughter, right? And I go, well, yeah. And he goes, okay, do a GoFundMe. I was like, no, dude, that's going to look bad. I don't want to do a GoFundMe. He goes, dude, you have a kid. You don't have a place. There's no room for pride. There's no room for pride anymore. Right, like, you have to provide for someone now. Just do a GoFundMe, see what you get. And I was like, okay, cool. So I didn't even like call my consultant. I just went home and like just did a GoFundMe, and I should have done like $30,000, but I did $3,000. And I was like, I'm only doing this for a week. I'm trying to get $3,000 to start my business so I get some hat blocks and get some hat bodies and get to working, you know? And dude, in 7 days, I raised $4,500. And and that was just promoting it on Instagram. I was just from Instagram, and I was like, cool. And then I cut off the GoFundMe after a week, and then I just started taking orders. Right. I just hit the ground running, man. I didn't have a shop. I didn't have hat blocks. I had nothing. Right. And I got the money, and I just started, I called a manufacturer in Salt Lake City. I was like, I need some hat blocks. And I called my guy. I was like, I need hat bodies. And then I bought a conformature, which is what I use to take templates.
All right, let's go step by step, because I don't know anything you're talking about. Okay. What's a hat block?
A hat block is, I don't have one in here. Hey, David, are you in here? Can you hand me any hat block? Give me one of the wooden hat blocks and bring me one hat body. What's that? Bring me a hat block and a hat body in there. My producer from my podcast is here, David. So
that's the man. We got to talk about your podcast, dude. I love it.
We'll get there, dude. So what I do is I get a felt in. It's a hat body, which I'm about to show you. And then let me see here. I'm getting ahead of myself. Any one of those work. Doesn't matter. It could be dyed or anything, brother. Here we go. Here he comes. Perfect. Yep, that's great. So I get one of these. This is a hat body, right? This one is 100% beaver. So it's beaver felt. So this is beaver felt and bug guts. It's a bug. It's a beetle from South America that's patched up, and it makes a stiffening agent. So this is literally just felt and bug guts put together, and it's put into this shape, right? So I take this, I hit it with a bunch of steam, and then I stretch it over this. This is a hat block right here. Yeah, this is it. So I'll take this guy, hit it with steam, stretch it over this. I iron it to it. And then from there, I turn around and I make something like this. So this is a dude's custom hat that I'm working on right now. It's dyed, has some colors on it, and I'll put trim on this. And, everything is shaped by hand. I did all this by hand, you know, and I shaped, sanded down. Yeah, I'll take that one too. This is another one right here that I did. So yeah, man, it's I love it. It's what I do, you know? So all that to say is I started taking orders before I had any of that stuff. So that's rabbit trail. But the first dude that I sold a hat to was like the CCM artist. Thank you so much, brother. Was a CCM artist named Jordan Feliz. And he just called me. He's like, hey, man, I heard you make hats. And I was like, yeah, I do. I totally make hats. I can make you a hat. I can sell you a hat. Like, come on, you know? So drove out to this dude's house, took his template. And I take a template of people's heads, and then I put it on a piece of wood. And then I have this template right here, and I have it forever, right? So
nice.
When Don's like, hey, I want a white hat, and I make that one, and he comes in the shop, I take the template, right? And then, you know, a couple months later, he goes, hey, I want a black hat. He doesn't have to come in. I already have his template. So I iron this to the hat. So when I put it on your head, it fits you perfectly.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, because I think for the hat world,
yeah,
and your vibe really fits Nashville with what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like I love it. The other hat people that have been before you, like an example, Cam Newton wears a certain type of hat that he wears all the time. Whoever. And there's another one, Farquaad. I know.
Nick Fouquet. Yeah, he's out in LA.
Nick Fouquet. Mm-hmm. When I had George Lopez on the show,
yeah,
I asked him about those hats.
Yeah.
What separates that versus you, other than your vibe and your touch? Is that the difference?
Because I
think it is.
It is, yeah. And really, and honestly, I mean, price point too, right? Like, but my hat bodies, like that big hat body I showed you, that all comes from the same place where both of those dudes get their hat bodies, you know?
Right, right, right.
And the dude who used to work, the dude who makes Cam's hats used to work for Nick and then left Nick and started
to start his own. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all style, right? It's all.
Exactly. That's why I love your vibe, bro. That's why I think you're going to be super successful, man, because you got a great story. It's your passion. And the vibe of it is like rock and roll, but like sexy rock and roll. Like I think of it like Bradley Cooper in that movie with Lady Gaga.
Dude, that was such a good movie. What's that movie called? Star is Born.
Star is Born, bro. I look at it because what made that character for me, I'm a Miami guy and a Tennessee guy are very different, you know, but what made having lived in LA was that guy is your quintessential like rock, but current star, flies in private planes, has a certain lifestyle, but then lives in the hills, but has an old truck. And it's cool when you're a celebrity to roll that, you know? And also I get like a vibe of you that I remember when Jesse James started doing the choppers.
And
I just started going out to LA like that. And I never went to his place. But everybody that I spoke to, West Coast Chopper, everybody that I spoke to that will go to his place, like the dude was out of his mind. Like he literally had it in Long Beach, fully tatted dude.
Yeah.
And then he would be jamming like super loud rock and roll music.
Yeah.
Hooking up with strippers, porn, like just losing his mind, you know. But it had a vibe that fit the brand of what he was doing.
Yeah. You know, there's a great interview I listened to with Jesse James, and he said, they go, is there anyone that you wouldn't make a motorcycle for? He goes, yeah, Sylvester Stallone. And they're like, why? He goes, he wanted a yellow motorcycle. And they go, well, why didn't you make him a yellow motorcycle? He goes, I fucking hate yellow. that was it. Like, that was his whole reason. Right. And dude, Sylvester Stallone, that's Rambo. Like
that's Rocky.
It's Rambo. Like, it's like, he's like the biggest dude ever. And he was just like, nah, I'm good.
And it's crazy. Society loves that.
Yeah.
I had on my show the guy, ex paratrooper, who built Joe Rogan's, you know, the American flag behind Joe Rogan.
Yes.
Josh, who built that, I had him on my show. And it's like, and he started that construction guy. Uh-huh. And he talked to me about how he started the flag stuff and stuff like that. And every time I see artists, right? Because I think you're an artist, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You're an artist, you know? The hardest part of the artist is blending in the artist with the businessman.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're it's almost like the GoFundMe thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't want to sell out. You don't like, fuck, I don't want to go there and go see somebody and be like, hey, anybody else want hats? You want a hat? So it's like, how do you balance that, man?
You know, I have a dude from afar that I really, really admire. His name is Evan Hayford. He started Black Rifle Coffee, right? The coffee company. And I really admire him. And he was in an interview one time and he said, you have to sacrifice your ego on the altar of business. And I have that written above my workbench on my window. So every time I look out my window, it says, you have to sacrifice your ego on the altar of business. And so what I've done is I've surrounded myself with people who are very, they're very well off. They're wealthy people. They have great businesses, you know, and it's different businesses. It's website stuff. It's commercial real estate. It's hotels, you know, but they have a life where it's like, my goal is, I've said this since the beginning, is 10 acres and a Toyota Tacoma. And man, like that's like living for me, because I'm like this redneck who makes hats, you know. But
special.
Yeah, it is. And I just was like, there are things about business that I don't know. I don't know how to do it. But man, I can figure it out and I can find out. You know, I go, okay, how do I get an LLC or whatever? What do I do for, I can do from LegalZoom. Oh, but if I use, you know, LegalZoom you know, Joe Rogan at checkout, I get 15% off. I'll do that, right? So I just kind of started picking things apart like that. And I watched a ton of YouTube stuff where I'm like, okay, well, you know, how do I get investors, or what does this mean? What's ROI? Like, what are all these terms that I don't understand? And so, right, I just really started listening to a lot of How I Built This, right? That is an awesome podcast. And listen to a lot of that, but you know, there are things that I don't know, right? I'm not very good at emails. I don't like doing like website stuff. So I have a dude who does that for me, right?
Right.
And it's like, hey man, you do this. This is what I'm thinking. You do it. And you know, with all my branding and logos and stuff, that carried over. That's one of the things that carried over from the music world, is because merch is life on tour, right? You have to have cool t-shirt stuff, cool hoodies, whatever, because if you don't, you're starving. You know, you have to sell merch every night. Right. And I look at that for my company and I'm like, I got to have cool t-shirts, right? Because there are some people who are like, hats aren't my thing, but I love that t-shirt. I'm going to buy it. Or I love that trucker hat. I'm going to buy it, right? And so I just started looking at different angles of things like that. And yeah, man, you know, I ask for help. My consultant says, he goes, you're the king of asking for things, because I don't know. Right. I mean, there's a dude who has a Porsche. I go, hey, what do you do? How'd you get that car? Right. I'm not a huge Porsche fan. I probably wouldn't own a Porsche, but
what if the dude's driving a Tacoma?
Oh, the dude driving a Tacoma. I'm like, hey, what's up, dude? Like, is that three?
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? You know, he's like,
what color Tacoma?
Dude, I want a gray one.
A gray one?
Gray. I want it lifted. You know, I want tires. I want a winch on the front. You know, I mean, I think that's partially from growing up in New Mexico, is there's big trucks. But yeah, I'll be driving around my fiance and I'll be like, hey, that's a good looking truck right there too. You know, I don't have to have a Tacoma. That one looks nice, you know? And she's like, Cage, that's a piece of shit old like truck. I'm like, yeah, it's a nice truck. You know, I don't know.
It's a vibe. It's a vibe.
It's a vibe. Yeah.
It's a vibe, babe.
You know, but,
babe, it's a vibe.
Yeah. You know, so it's funny because my consultant goes, you know, it's like very doable. And I go, well, yeah, well, that's why I didn't say I want a, you know, a Bugatti with a mansion in the hills and, you know, 5 pounds of cocaine in front of me. I want something, right, you know, being surrounded by strippers, right? It's like, I want something tangible and real that when I get that, I'm like, man, this is awesome. This was a very tangible goal that I made into a reality. You know what I'm saying? And I think people, it's funny because entrepreneur is like the buzzword of our like generation, right? Like, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm like, dude, I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm this redneck dude who likes heavy music and I know how to make a hat. Right. And I try to stay in my lane, you know, and that's it. And I'm like, I'm not an entrepreneur. There are other dudes who do startups and tech and all this stuff, and they're great at it. Right. And, you know, but if someone's like asked me for help on how to start their business, I'm like, go to LegalZoom. I don't know. You know?
Yeah. No, I totally get it, bro.
I'm realistic, you know,
I think of it the same way, man. I think of it the same way. Let's talk about expectations, bro.
Yeah.
When I started, I tell people that when I started, everybody, this is at the age of, I became Coach HP. I'm known as Coach HP at the age of 37.
Okay.
Okay. After being super successful in Las Vegas, I was the director of customer development for a club called Hyde in the Bellagio.
Okay.
So I lived at the Aria Hotel.
That sounds
single for 4 years. Like, okay. Literally, I'm a guy that, not that there's nothing wrong with this, but I've never drank in my life, never done drugs. So I was super focused, man.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you. Growing up, I had a lot of identity issues, Gage, because since my dad enslaved me, I didn't know who I was, bro. One day I'd be this person, another day I'd be that person. I just, everybody, if I'd have seen you and you look cool, I try to be you, I try to be this, I try to be that. So in Los Angeles, that hurt me a lot. Because I lied to people, I bullshit them to fit in, and my charisma and my little thing got me into circles, and I'm a positive dude and I've never been a hater. But I never felt I fit in because let's say we're hanging out with Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm hanging out with this, all these superstars. You're there. You've made hats for them. And I'm here and I'm sleeping in my car. And I had nothing that I felt that was sexy.
Mm.
And other than saying the truth, which would have been super sexy, I created some shit and it was stupid. But by Las Vegas, I got my PhD in really learning how to deal with people, bro. Mm. And when I was in Vegas, I put a goal of working every single day, put the suit on and go to work every single day. Positive momentum took me to a year and a half, bro. I didn't want to stop because it was the first time in my life that I finally hit me being good at something. And I think your age, you're what, 30, you said?
I'm 30, yeah.
So I was 31.
Okay.
Okay. Did that for 4 years. I came here. I got the idea that, man, I want to change baseball and relationship with parents. I didn't want to come back to Miami, but I was here. So I'm vlogging. And I'm a 37-year-old dude vlogging in baseball fields of youth baseball in Miami.
Okay.
And getting hated on by everybody except the kids. The little kids, and we're talking about like 7, 8, 9, 12-year-old kids, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, vlogging, cool, YouTube. Everybody that I knew, everybody was like, well, this guy's a fucking idiot. What is this guy doing, you know? Mm-hmm. When you get successful, I say you have your friends lie to you to your face, you know, or behind your back and into your face.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have strangers because then now you become popular. You're like, oh, who's that Gage guy? Then when you enter the arena, where I'm at now is I have famous people look me in the face and literally tell me, it's like if name the person looks at me and goes, Gage, I'm super pumped. I love what I'm going to do. Not only am I going to buy a hat, but I'm going to do this where you're like, oh my God, this is career changing.
Mm.
But they don't go through.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They don't like literally going through.
Yep.
I have my ways of dealing with it. I'm going to share with it after, but I want to hear your way of dealing with expectations, bro.
Yeah. Expectations. Not to sound weird. I honestly keep them pretty small. You know what I mean? I have a goal. I have a whiteboard. I have two whiteboards in my shop over there. One is names for orders, right? And the other one is goals. So at the beginning of every month, all right, December, all right, hat goals, right? And then I write a number. And then next to that, it's like actual sales. And I just do a tally mark, right? And some months I'm like, man, I'd be stoked if I sold 10 hats, right? Or I'd be so stoked if I sold 15 hats, right? And I remember a year ago where I'd be like, oh man, I'd be so pumped if I just did one hat a week. If I could sell 4 hats, I can help pay rent and I can do this stuff, you know? And now I'm at the point where it's like, there'll be 20, 30 tally marks, you know? And I'm blown away by it because I feel so incredibly humbled that people give me their hard earned money. You know, it's just something I don't take lightly, you know, cause I didn't grow up rich. You know what I mean? I was taken care of, bills were paid, but we struggled some months, whatever. And then also just being this broke dude, you know, where I've been everything, man, from like a Zamboni driver to a meter maid, like putting boots on cars,
you know, all
touring, you know what I mean? It's crazy. So I've learned to, I try to make expectations reasonable. Does that make sense?
Super.
So I'm just like, okay, this month, I'd like to do a new t-shirt design and 2 podcasts, right? And sometimes I do a t-shirt design and I don't do any podcasts because the workload's too heavy or whatever it may be, right? But expectations, like with people, you know, I think I found out kind of early that, you know, people make a lot of promises that they're not going to go through. With right, like you're saying, and I just, you know, there's a clothing company called 30 Seconds Out, and their slogan is "No one is coming; it's up to us." And I've kind of made that like my mantra for the year, because like when COVID hit, it's like there's no way I'm getting like a PPP loan or anything like that. I'm like, no one's gonna help me. I have to figure this shit out on my own, you know. I don't know. I don't want it to sound like a negative thing, but I just try to keep my expectations reasonable. You know what I mean? expectations.
No, that's not negative. That's good, man. That's good.
I think it's like goals are high, expectations are low. If that makes any sense at all.
Super, super sense. My thing is, which I have it back here.
Yeah.
But two things you can control is effort and attitude, bro.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Everything else, I couldn't, because I would have loved to have kept my hair. I lost it, bro. I tried my best. I lost it, right? You could love to, maybe you wish you would have been, I don't know, bro, 6'5" and done this. Mm-hmm. But what you can control is your effort and your attitude, man. Yeah. And especially for me, listening that you're a young, because you were what, 29, 28 when you had your daughter?
Yeah, I was 28, yeah.
Which is young, man. It's still super young, you know? I'm 41 years old.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm 41 years old, and I have a two-year-old girl and a three-month-year-old boy, right?
Okay.
I got married at 37, which is a great age for a man.
Yeah.
You're now 28. You're not married yet, but you're going to get married soon, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
You're now really starting a journey where you're starting to pop off now.
Mm-hmm.
See, I never had to deal with popping off without being married. Because I did social media. I was crushing it in Vegas, and I didn't need to go to social media.
Yeah.
I would see people on Instagram. I was like, what's this Instagram stuff? I wouldn't even touch it, you know? And they would use it for marketing, and I was so popular that I didn't need to use it. But I had never dealt with girls DMing me, what that's like, whatever. So every time I see a young dude
mm-hmm.
that has a daughter
mm-hmm.
that's in a relationship and is getting notoriety, good-looking dude that has a lot going on, I always stress a lot of stuff that start with communication.
Mm-hmm.
In every relationship, especially with your chick, don't take advantage of communication, whether it's good or bad.
The minute
it starts going a little bad, listen, I want to talk to you. You know what, man? We have this girl. We're doing this, but I don't know. I have this that I need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Or the opposite. Man, you know what? I haven't told you in a while, but I'm so appreciative, man, that you've hung out with me, that mm-hmm. you have my back also. And I don't think... Listen, I don't think in high school I would eliminate probably 85% of the math. Mm-hmm. I would do a petition that we do addition, subtraction, adding, addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, and maybe percentages, and mm-hmm. stop right there. Fuck mm-hmm. fractions. Don't even get me started on algebra. Don't get me started on calculus.
Yeah, okay. Dude.
It is so ridiculous. And let's replace that with human relationship 101.
Mm-hmm.
How to deal with stuff as a dude.
Yeah.
How to not get a girl pregnant the first time. How to deal with peer pressure.
Yeah.
How to deal with drugs. How to deal with abuse that's coming. Like all these things that it's like almost like, good luck, go figure it out.
Yeah. It's also a thing too of like, it's like, hey, how to deal with the fact that you don't know what you want to do with the rest of your life when you're 17 or 18, right?
No, like, Gage, and here's the thing, bro.
Yeah.
How tall were you your senior year of high school?
I was like 6 foot, probably the same height.
So you look like a man already. And the problem is, what people don't understand is that the front part of our brain, especially us men, bro, that doesn't mature till we're like 25 years old.
Yep.
So I'm 6'2". So we had men walking around with this like weird persona and like, hey, look at me.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no empathy for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we just make dumb decisions because we don't know any better or whatever it is. So I'm big on that kind of stuff, bro.
Yeah. You know, well, the thing is too, like I dealt a lot with that. I was married before. I got married when I was like 23 and then divorced when I was 27. But that entire time I was married, I was on tour. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Which is hardly impossible, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. It was rough, you know? But the thing is, I sowed a lot of wild oats when I was real young touring, you know what I mean? So there wasn't too much of a thing, you know, my later years of touring, you'd find me at the merch table, you know, reading a book.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
The hats.
Uh-huh.
I see an example. Brandon's hat, right? That color scheme.
Yeah.
You can't think of that. How do you pick that color? Is that because that's like an off something faded mix blend? How does somebody pick a hat, bro?
Well, I dyed that one. All the weird colors you see, I dye those. You know,
which also to me are the coolest ones. How do you know what you're dyeing it into? Like, how does that work?
Well, here's the thing. I don't tell anyone how I dye. That's like my secret sauce. You know.
No, I don't want to hear how you dye it, but I want to hear how do you pick a color, like, or do you even know what color is going to come out?
I see. Yeah. I do a little bit now because I've been doing it for so long. But like with that blue hat, I saw a pair of shoes, right? I just saw these. I'm a big sneakerhead. I love Nikes. I love Vans. You know, I love a good pair of cowboy boots. I saw these really badass like Air Maxes, and they were like this awesome like blueberry blue, right? Like our name tags, like this blue and white. It was like that blue,
like almost like the Travis Scott Jordan, the first one.
Yeah, you know. And then I've seen like some like really awesome orange thrown in there, and there was like also like this had like a purple into it as well. They're like these custom shoes, and I was like, how do I make that? How do I make that into a hat? Right. That's always my go-to is like, how can I make that into a hat? That's how I think. Right. And so I dyed the hat blue, and then I was like, okay, well, how do I make it into a shoe? And so the back brim part on the back of the hat, I did, it's called a bound edge. That's the ribbon around the brim. And I was like, okay, so this is like the top of the tongue. Right. So it's like, there's that. And then I was like, what do I do for the hat band? I don't want to put a ribbon. And I was like, dude, I should just put off-white shoelaces. And then you know that this was inspired by shoes.
Nice.
So that's where the shoelaces came from. And then my friend Jordan Dankfels, his name is Dank on Instagram. He makes all these custom – he's made shoes for everyone, dude. Makes Brendan shoes and everyone's right. He was kind enough. He goes, hey, I have all this scrap leather. Would you like it? I go, please send it over to me. And so he had like the cracked like elephant skin that's like on the Jordans and stuff. And I was nice. Like, oh, well, instead of burning my lightning bolt into the hat, I should cut the lightning bolt out of this leather and just kind of make this other, you know, another dimension that pops off this hat. And it's still a gray. So and it's black. So it's going to kind of, you know, it'll mesh with the blues and the oranges and like the white that's kind of on the hat and stuff. So I kind of get in this mode where, you know, it's few and far between where I get to do passion projects, right? Because I'm fortunate to where I am booked out pretty far in advance to make hats. But, you know, every once in a while, man, the stars align. And I'll be, you know, the other day I was sitting there and I was just kind of on my phone doing the thing, right? We're all scrolling through Instagram, whatever. And I saw a picture of like an old suitcase that had stickers all over it. And I go, how do I make that into a hat? You know, I took a screenshot of it and I just kind of look at it, throw some notes on my phone and, you know, and then I kind of come to the shop and I'm just always kind of searching online as I'm kind of getting ready to start working. So there's always, I saw, you know, there, dude, it's funny. I saw as a Target, there's an older lady old enough to be our mom. Right. And she had this like really awesome, like Louis Vuitton purse. And it was like this natural leather. But all of the Louis Vuitton logos were all these like really awesome different colors. And I was like, hey, can I take a picture of your purse? And she's like, what? And I was like, can I take a picture of your purse? I'm a hat maker. It's inspiring to me. And she's like, I guess so. And I was like, click. And now I'm looking at that and I'm like, okay, how do I make a hat out of that? Right. So I just kind of, I get inspired by, you know, really a little bit of everything. You know what I mean? You know, it changes too. So yeah. Yeah,
I love that, bro. Do you get a lot of orders here in South Florida?
Florida, I've sent a few hats to Florida. Yeah, you know, a lot of my hats are here. I've sent quite a few up to Canada, and a ton of them go out to California. You know, I mean, they kind of go. I've sent hats to, you know, Alaska. You know what I mean? Like, it's
no, because I think of it as the thing with you with Florida is it's so hot and humid, bro, that I don't know if the hat thing plays like it does cool over there, bro. And then with me, because I look at those hats and I'm like, man, you guys, because you look super cool wearing yours, but my ears, I don't think let me pull the hat off, to be honest with you.
Why?
Like,
that
I don't know, bro. Like, I have dorky ears when I put like a hat. It's like I can't wear a beanie.
Okay,
like if I wear a beanie like yours,
yeah,
I gotta cover my ears.
Okay.
because if I put my ears up, it looks off in my brain. So I've always thought of, man, if one day I could pull off one of those hats, it'd be a cool little thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, I need to just come to Florida and we'll take your template. So we know it's going to fit you perfectly. You know what I mean?
Oh, we go to Nashville, bro. When I'm in Nashville, well, I'm going to sweat because I got to support you. You came on the podcast. I got to get a hat from you. but I think about that, man, because I think those hats to me always look good with the guys with the, you have the hair in the back and stuff. That's mm-hmm. that's king, you know. That's why Bradley Cooper crushed it in that movie, you know, with the hair and stuff.
It always goes back to Brad, dude.
Dude with the hair, bro. But I think of myself and I'm like, you know what? Maybe I could pull it off. I go on stage, I speak, mm-hmm. you know. So
yeah, well, you know, it's funny, like just even going back to Brendan, right? I made Brendan his first like proper hat like that. And I mean, we went full hog. He got like a 3.5-inch brim. You know what I mean? Like we went for it. And then I never like really saw him wear it. I was like, I think he hates his hat.
He hates,
it, you know? And then like when that Yellowstone TV show came out, he was wearing his hat, man. And he was all stoked. And he's like, bro, I got to get another hat, you know? And so I think a lot of it too with hats, like, It's a confidence thing, you know?
Hell yeah.
There's a dude and he's just turned into a dear friend. His name is Brandon Lake. He's like a worship singer. You know what I mean? I don't know. He's like this, but he's like 6'3" and I just made him a hat and the crown on the hat is 6 inches tall. Like,
holy
shit. It's going to be a tall hat, but he was like, I want a tall hat. You know, I want, make me a big hat. I'm like, all right, dude, you got it. You know? And that was the latest hat I just posted. But I think too, man, people all the time are like, hey, I don't know if I can pull off one of your hats. It's like, you can. It's literally, I make you the hat, you wear the hat, and then you just don't give a shit about what anyone thinks, you know? That's that. And I think that's the key in life. And I think people struggle with that, right? That's a
hell real, yeah, they do.
That's a big thing. Like, oh, what's everybody gonna think? Like, I gotta take a picture. Everyone's gotta know that I'm here. I'm hanging out with so and so. It's just like, damn, dude, chill out. You know what I mean? Like, and at the end of the day, nobody cares. You know what I mean? Like, nobody's
you
gonna
think care. They do, but they don't. They're worried about themselves.
Yeah.
What are rules? If you rock a hat,
yeah,
I'm rocking a Daisy May hat now, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are the rules? Are there no rules? Do I have to take it off at some point? Like, how does that work? What are we talking about here? What are the etiquettes?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they always say it's terrible luck to put a hat on a bed. That's like an old cowboy rule. It's like terrible luck to put a hat on a bed. Another cowboy rule, too, is like you can't wear yellow. You know, that's why I got such a big kick out of the Jesse James thing, because like back bull riding, no one wore yellow because it's like yellow's bad luck. You're not allowed to wear yellow.
Nice.
But also too, it's like you don't want to leave your hat in a car, right? Especially like in Florida, it's hot. You know, like you guys down there, man, we get it here in the summer, but like it's so humid. Like you take a shower and you're like, man, you know this feeling. You know when you like take a shower, you get dressed and you put on like your favorite outfit where you're like, dude, I feel awesome. I'm crushing today. And then you walk outside and you're like, I'm perpetually wet. You know what I mean? It's just like that
horrible, bro.
Oh,
horrible.
Dude, it's like I hate that. So horrible. With that humidity and stuff and the heat, it's like you can never leave your hat in a car because that causes the hat to shrink up quite a bit. You know, I've fixed countless hats where people are like, I left my hat in a car, you know? And so I'm like, well, bring it here, I have to reblock it. You know, I mean, none of my hats, because I tell people, I'm like, do not leave this thing in your car. You've spent enough money on it. You should know better. Do not leave this in your car overnight, not in the morning. If you're not going to wear it, and just hang, you know, put a nail on the wall, hang it on the wall, put it like flat on a table or on a shelf or something like that. But my hats are made out of either beaver or rabbit felt. And so they do fine in the rain. They do fine in the snow. I always just tell people, like, just don't wear it in the shower.
Hat. Yeah, it's a battle hat.
Yeah, you know, and it's something if you take care of and you brush it off every once in a while, clean it. I mean, you can literally pass these hats down to your kids. I mean, they last
so long.
I mean, I just shaped a dude's hat that was his dad's hat, you know, and the sweatband inside was like torn up, and I cut it out. I put one of my sweatbands in it because that's all I have is my logo in there, you know, but I'm like, hey, here you go. But now that hat's going to last him for another 20 years. You know, it's like all you have to do is just take, you know, take care of it. It's good to go, you know?
Dude, that's awesome, man. How do I know what color? Do I leave the color up to you? Is that how this thing works? Like you pick the vibe?
All personal preference, you know? But there are some people who are like, hey, I want like a gray hat. It's like, okay, cool. You know, I can get just a solid gray hat from my manufacturer. It's like, or I could dye a hat gray. Like, what if we dyed a hat gray in a couple different tones of gray? So then when I sand the hat body out, it has like this crazy looking, these different tones to it. You know, it could look like really cool. So yeah, I always try to point people to the kind of more creative kind of vibe. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But you know, if they're like, hey, I love, if they send me pictures of stuff, like if it's through email, I'm like, hey, show me some hats that you like. Right. And if every hat they send me is, you know, a gray hat, like a solid gray hat, I'm like, they probably want a solid gray hat.
You know? You're not gonna hit them with a red hat.
No, absolutely. It's like, okay, cool. And so I just try to pick a few different things. Like, what's the consistency of shapes they're picking out, right? What the brim, the trim, you know, hat band, things like that. You know, so I try to keep it as easy as possible. You know, I'm like, hey, it's your money. I'll make you whatever hat you want. You know,
that's what we're gonna do, buddy. I'm gonna go to Nashville. You're gonna size me up. We're gonna document the whole thing, and we're gonna crush it, bro.
Couple more questions. Yeah.
You have a podcast.
I do, yeah.
You go on podcasts, you have a podcast.
Yeah.
What makes them different, man? What makes them fun? What makes your show fun? Do you like the podcast? Talk to me about that experience.
Yeah, I just, you know, the podcast idea came from a thing where I'd made a buddy, my producer, David. I had made him a hat. He bought a hat. And I just go, hey, man, would you ever want to help me make a podcast? And this is like kind of like during like in like the throes of COVID, right? Which I guess we're still kind of in, you know. But
yeah,
I was like, what's everybody in the hat world not doing? Like, no one has a podcast,
I love it.
So yeah, it started off with like, I want to talk to people like within fashion or these different types of things. And then I just realized I just kind of want to have my friends on or random people that I don't know. And that's just kind of what it started from, you know, and I just like talking to people, you know, like I love coming on here because you have this format of like these questions and it's very business savvy and business minded. And I love that, you know, because it's like I don't really talk about too much of business on my podcast. You know what I mean? Like I had a buddy on and he does competition sharpshooting.
Nice.
So I'm like, bro,
Gage, I have zero format, bro. I just talk and it's not even business, but what I do is I see a dude that's crushing it and I start picking your brain. How did this do? How did this? How did that? You know, how do you do this, man? And I just, bro, I think you're just going to be super successful, man. It's funny. I'm going to have Evan on from Black Rifle on this show.
So oh, really?
I'm going to chop up the part of you talking about him. Or I'm going to send it to him.
Dude, please do, man. I love Black Rifle. It's funny because I actually buy bags of it for my shop. And when customers come in, I'm like, have you heard Black Rifle? And they're like, no. I'm like, well, let me make you some. You know, like you want a cup of coffee? So it's either Black Rifle or Kill Cliff. I drink Kill Cliff a ton. I love those dudes too. You know, I'm not a veteran or anything like that, you know.
But you're pro that vibe. You like that vibe.
I'm appreciative of that and of what those men and women have gone through. That makes it so you and I can sit here like this and bullshit.
Hell yeah, bro. You know what I mean?
I just think that I think the veteran community deserves a lot more attention and more love, you know. So I love that's what Black Rifle's doing. And they're creating jobs. And man, the coffee is awesome too, you know? So yeah, tell that guy. I'm a big fan, you know?
I'm going to tell him. He's supposed to come on. So
I love it.
I'm going to tell him. Dude, I really think, man, that with you, unless you get bored and you get that successful real quick and get the Tacoma and the ranch and the whole thing, bro, I think sky's the limit, man. I think sky's the limit. How you're approaching social and all that stuff. You have a YouTube channel also or no?
I do. Yeah. That's going to start getting a lot more busier next year. I'm going to put out some instructional videos for hats and stuff like that next year. And I'm dropping a new promo video that we've been putting together for the last several months. And that comes out next month too. So
I love that, dude, because I think people are into watching dudes that have skills, do their craft and are passionate about their craft.
Sure.
And I think, and if you get to a point, just like with Jesse James, like when he did Shaq Spike,
yeah,
that was a big thing because a big guy like Shaq had to do it. If you get to a point where you do your own YouTube show and you say, listen, Stallone, let's use Stallone again. Stallone, you're going to go do a hat. Listen, part of my deal is, man, can I document it for the show? We'll do that. Nobody's doing.
Yeah.
That nobody's doing. And just that interaction, bro. Oh my God, man. So I love the YouTube thing. And then you clip it in with the Instagram stuff. And I love it, dude. Before I let you go, bro, any questions for me? Anything I can help you with?
Dude, what made you want to start doing a podcast? Didn't you did like vlogging and stuff like that. But I mean, now it's like you have over 100,000 followers on Instagram, right? Like, so where did like your passion for baseball come in, right? And then how did you make it bleed into a podcast, you know?
So here's the funny part. I have zero passion, to be 100% honest with you, for baseball.
Okay.
My dad's thing was baseball.
Okay.
My dad was obsessed with baseball, and I feel that I got stuck in baseball. All my misery growing up came from fucking baseball.
Wow.
My ass kicked because of baseball. But here's the irony in life, Gage. This is why I get goosebumps. I must get emotional talking about this and why I do what I do. So if you take me from the age of 3 to 21 years old, all baseball. Baseball nerd. Baseball, that's like everything, right? Okay. Then you take that out. I tell you, the sport that abused the hell out of me is a sport that has brought me everything that I've wanted in life.
Wow.
And I ran away from baseball. I left Miami. I'm modeling with Wilhelmina. J-Lo has a TV show called South Beach. I get on the show with Vanessa Williams. I do one thing. I get my SAG card. I'm like, fuck it. I'm out. I'm going to go to Los Angeles. I'm going to the furthest place away. I'm going to go live in a car. My dad wasn't your dad. Hey, here's $200, buddy, whatever. My dad, I didn't want a dime from him because I didn't want nobody telling me anything.
Yeah.
So I went and I left and I drove in a Toyota Corolla from Miami. And I know that to go through the state of Texas takes 14 hours across because I did it. I drove that twice. And when I sat there and I slept in the Hollywood Hills, Gage, I thought California would be sunny California because that's what I saw in the videos, you know? And it was, and I left in January, bro. And when I slept in the Hollywood Hills and thought it was 30, 40 degrees in January, freezing my ass off, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I learned what made people go crazy. Because when you're living in your car, I thought that me with my thing, I go, oh, this is easy, bro. I go to Los Angeles. I start meeting chicks left and right. I'll live with this one. I'll live with that one. I'll be set. And then, dude, I didn't even want to leave my car because all my belongings are in it. And I'm in a little Toyota Corolla. My foot, Gage, is falling asleep in reverse as I sleep at nighttime. I couldn't sleep a whole night. There was no social media or there was no smartphone, no YouTube. I couldn't YouTube positivity, whatever. So I would literally, I had to read books, turn on the radio, old school style, and just my brain. And I had this, my dad prepared me for everything in life except to deal with him. The guy trained me like Rocky.
Yeah.
So I don't see barriers. I don't see the answer, no. I reach out to you. You're like, hey, bro, cool. You change it last minute for whatever it is. I don't take that personal.
Yeah.
I just keep going because I have such feeling of good that oozes out of me when I talk to somebody and I want everybody around me to win.
Yeah.
So because of all these things, I'm in Los Angeles, and I had two lessons with a guy by the name of Gary Austin. Gary Austin is a dude from Corpus Christi, Texas, that created the Groundlings. The Groundlings is the most popular improvisational theater in the West Coast ever done. Lisa Kudrow, Will Ferrell, Phil Hartman, all these people came out of there. This guy created that. In my first class of me living in my car, the first person I talked to in 6 months, when I sit there and I go to that guy's class, coincidentally, Gage, he's wearing a retro Houston Astros baseball jacket. And the guy does a baseball analogy, bro.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God, this is it. I raised my hand. I said, Professor, you're absolutely right. I used to be a baseball player. Blah, blah, blah. He goes to me, he goes, what are you doing? I go, no, I just moved here 6 months ago. I'm sleeping in my car. He's like, oh, that's awesome. Okay, cool. He goes, do you want to come to more classes? I said, listen, give me a chance. I budgeted for two. Let me see what I can figure out because I don't have a job. I've been a baseball player. I never worked in my life.
Yeah.
He goes, no, no. How about we do this? Come sleep in my house. It was him, his wife, and his four snow dogs. The most disgusting house. You got every, you know, the amount of white hair that was everywhere.
Oh, God.
Disgusting. To me, it was like the Four Seasons because I wanted to learn so much.
Yeah.
And I was so humble. This guy was willing to teach me. And at the beginning, I go, listen, let's do this. Instead of me sleeping in the house, let me at least park my car in your driveway.
Yeah.
So at least I know nobody's going to kick me out.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want myself. The biggest, you learned this from me, the biggest danger to success is being comfortable.
Mm.
It's me being comfortable and mediocrity are best friends.
Yeah.
And what has had me ahead, you talk about the followers, my success, my people, the stories are endless, is, and I told this to my wife, and it's hard for a civilian to understand this because, man, it's like your chick. Every battle we go into, everything, they feel it because they see how what we go through. Bro, everything that I've gotten in life, I've had to go get.
Mm.
Nothing has been given to me at all.
Yeah.
So I hit it off with this dude. I become a celebrity baseball coach in Beverly Hills. I'm training celebrities with their kids. I'm honest enough to tell them, listen, this is how you should treat your son. This is important. I don't care who you are. You got to come watch your kid train. You can't send bodyguards. You can't send nannies. You can't send drivers. So I started doing that. And parents were like, that's right. So I started to implement my discipline, but in a certain way. Bro, that started leading to a movement of my speaking career. I always wanted to speak, but I didn't know how to speak. So I just started to speak.
Mm.
And then, you know who Gary Vee is?
I do know who Gary Vee is. Yeah. Yeah.
So Gary Vee taught me, man, you got a document. You got a document. You got a document. So I'm like, okay. I had no idea what a camera was. So I started recording this. And Gage, somebody came and people would tell me, oh, man, because you know you're lucky you got a producer. He goes, people are like, but editing. I go, man, can you help me with editing?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's like, yeah, man, I'll help you with editing. I'll help you with editing. Gage, you know how many people help me with editing, bro?
None.
Zero. So I had to take my happy, positive self to the Apple store.
Mm.
And I sat there and I learned how to edit iMovie twice a week for two months, every single week. And I get 2 hours, learn editing. And I learned how to do it. So as I did that, I started to speak anywhere that I wanted to speak because I feel that people need to hear that there's no competition. Gage only competes against one person, himself.
Mm.
There is no nothing. The only thing that's good is your authenticity, what you feel, and the documenting of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny. So 2 years ago, I was on, you're going to like the story. 2 years ago, I was on ESPN.
Okay.
So I'm on ESPN talking about parenting and all stuff. And then coincidentally, I plug Gary's book. Just to plug Crushing It. Oh, the book Crushing It, blah, blah, whatever, whatever. I hear nothing from him, nothing. I know about 11 people that have been on the Ask Gary Vee show. Not 11 people that Gary helped one day, like, hey, man, go do more TikToks. And we're talking about like legit people who are super famous that have been on his show because of my power in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So and a couple more that I've helped people's kids out. And I never tapped into any one of them for Gary. Never one. Mm-hmm. A year ago, I did a... So I'm the first influencer. Have you heard of Rawlings?
Wallings?
Rawlings. Rawlings with an R.
Yeah, yeah. The baseball company.
Yeah. So I'm the first influencer to sign Rawlings, right? You see my logo there?
Yeah.
You see the logo there on the glove?
What?
Yeah, bro.
That's amazing.
So I signed a deal with them. They sponsored me, and then I started doing that.
Yeah.
While I get 500 to 1,000 DMs a week of kids, parents, entrepreneurs, people reaching out, you know, hey, man, your journey, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I always give them the same advice, and the advice is this. Nature rewards movement.
Mm.
It kills you, man. If you stay stagnant, you start getting in your head. When you get in your head, you start doubting yourself. You start negativity. I'm not good enough. I'm not this. Why that person has that? He's not wearing my hat. He's not doing this. He's wearing that guy's hat. And you got to stay in movement.
Yeah.
And what sucked for me in Hollywood is I couldn't do that. But what was for me in this is as long as I could put up a show, it's like I'm movement. Nobody's watching the show, but I'm doing a show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a podcast. So last year, I signed a deal with New Balance. I go to Boston to go tour their place, beautiful place in New Balance.
Yeah.
A guy who works at VaynerMedia reaches out to me and goes, dude, I love your message. I love your stuff. Would you want to be on my podcast? In VaynerMedia.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, man. So I go. Gary wasn't there. Gary was out of town. I sit there, Gage. Long story short, I connect with the guy. It's awesome. VaynerMedia is like the mecca, bro. It's beautiful. Hudson Yards in New York is like an entrepreneur's dream. Just the vibe, very positive, all these things. I'm soaking it all in. And when I'm done, I'm telling the dude, I go, listen, man, he had a different vibe than what was going on. He's a sales guy. He was on a marketing team. There was a little bit of clash, and I gave him my honest opinion. Like, if I've known the guy that whole life, I said, listen, I think you should do this, and that. When we're done, he goes, bro, you should reach out to this dude. He's a big baseball fan. I reach out to the dude during the World Series last year. We're talking this whole thing. I go, listen, brother, I'm going to be in New York for the Rawlings Gold Glove Awards. That's like all the superstars, like the country, like the CMAs.
Okay, that's like the baseball awards.
The big baseball award show, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I go, I'm gonna be there interviewing all the players, whatever. If your brother wants, I'll see him for free.
Yeah.
I'll watch him. And any help I can be, and I'll take him some stuff, whatever. He's like, bro, my dad would love that. My stepbrother's huge baseball, 16 years old, this whole thing. Gage, I go over there. I help the guy out on a Thursday. I told him, man, I didn't get to see you hit. If you want me to see you hit, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
I went the following day. I'm interviewing Ozzie Smith. You know who Ozzie Smith is?
I don't know.
Big famous guy, shortstop for the 80s for the Cardinals, the Wizard. He's the guy that used to do the flips before the games.
Okay.
Ozzie Smith. So we're here, and as I'm interviewing him, the guy shoots me a text, the guy's dad. Listen, man, I would be super appreciative. And he gave me this whole itinerary. And I'm like, all right. He goes, you'll come, you'll speak in New Jersey to 20 kids, you'll see my son, blah, 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 all for free.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Gage, I finished at 3:00 in the morning at the Plaza Hotel in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
At 6:30 in the morning, I got my happy, positive self. I got on the ferry, went to New Jersey. His son picked me up and went all the way. I don't know. We drove like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
To speak to a bunch of kids, whatever. When I was done speaking, and I have it documented because I record everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like Gary, to have a dude following me, whatever. When I'm done, the guy pulls me aside and goes, listen, bro, I want to tell you something. I can't thank you enough for what you've done. I'm best friends with Gary Vee.
What?
I'm best friends with Gary Vee.
No way.
My son works for him. You know Lou? Do you know little Lou? Lou Janot?
I don't know.
You'll see him now. He's the Gary's friend. That's his son.
Whoa.
He's in the wine business. He knew Gary from the wine before he became Gary Vee.
Yeah.
They were coming back in an airplane from Napa Valley, okay? And in an airplane, Gary pulled out a yellow sheet and wrote down everything he was going to do. And goes, look, Lou, this is what I'm going to do. This whole thing, right? So I came. And the guy goes to me, I'm going to introduce you to Gary. I'm going to get you 15 minutes with Gary. I go, listen, Lou, I don't want 15 minutes with Gary, man. What I want is if I meet him, I want you to come with me. Because I don't need anything from anybody.
Yeah.
I don't have a single thing. What can I help? What can I give? How can I pump you up? What can I be of service? Whatever.
Yeah.
Dude, 2 years to the day, February 1st, 2018, I'm on ESPN endorsing Gary's book.
Yeah.
2020, February 21st, I'm at VaynerMedia talking to Gary.
Wow.
Documented everything. Gary's like, bro, we got to have dinner, blah, blah, blah. So when you ask me why did I start the podcast, when Corona hit, I go, I got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do a show.
Yeah.
And let's see. But I'm going to be in movement. And I've had super famous people. I have people that are going to be very well known like you. I've had friends of mine. I have people that have sold me out, but we've worked it out.
Mm-hmm.
I have all types of people. And what I started was, my thing is, my gift, my talent is that I care so much about your success.
Mm.
That's why when I hear, wait a minute, you're a fan of this dude from Black Rifle? Mm. I'm gonna, what's the worst thing he tells me? No. I said, listen, bro, you got a dude that really likes you. Bro, he's a fan, whatever. He's a monster doing hats. You never know. And I don't want nothing. I just want to see if, because that to me is huge. So if you could learn anything from me, and I'm 41.
Uh-huh.
And the only reason why the Gary V stories are sexy, the Barstool Sports story, same thing is sexy. Uh-huh. All these people that I meet is so that a 31, a 21, a 15-year-old, 16-year-old goes, man, if this guy is saying stuff like this,
mm-hmm.
let me try that. If Coach HP is saying, be cool, be humble, be empathetic, bro, be grateful, mm-hmm. be chill, help people out, don't get, man, if be cool with my dad, be cool with your son. So, dude, that's why I started the whole thing, man.
Dude, one thing you just said that I really love is, you go, what's the worst thing you can say? No, right? And that's what made me just like have this freak out moment, because I strive to live every day like that, right? Like, wait, and say no, it's okay. I don't, for whatever it is, whatever the thing you're working on, the project, asking for help, this guy, you know, reaching out to this guy for this, whatever. But it's, I think people need to be comfortable with being like, hey, dude, you got to get used to just being told no, you know, I mean,
bro, and all the time, man, all the time. And, and the thing is, you never know what the Oregon State reaches out to me 2 years ago. I had no idea who they won. They won the title in baseball. The Beavers. I'm speaking at Oregon State. I don't know who anybody is. There's a kid, blue eyes, sitting right there. First guy to ask me a question, coach, your mindset, how do you get that mindset? How do you stay so positive? I give him my answer. We're done. We take a group picture. Kid's right next to me. No idea who the kid is. Yeah. Kid sends me a DM after. Coach, you being there, man, it's God sent. I can't thank you enough. Bro. Wow. I'm like, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I get a message from the manager after. It's like, man, you crushed it. That was awesome. He goes, you know who that kid was that was asking all these questions? I go, no, I have no idea. He goes, that's the projected number one overall pick in the 2019 draft. This dude signed for $8.1 million. Okay.
Wow.
To the Orioles 2 years ago.
That's a lot of Tacomas.
You know what I'm saying? It's a, but look how it is. It's just a feeling of good to help.
Yeah.
And then I had a document. That's why now the difference with now, and this is why for you, this is important. The artist is, you take Brandon Schaub. Brandon's a guy that got lucky because he's charismatic. He knows a lot. And he had a lot of big brothers that helped him.
Mm-hmm.
Had Joe come in who loves doing that and really helped him.
Yeah.
And then they put it in the machine of the formula of documenting podcasts. So it's a system, right?
Yeah.
But it's all the documenting and the putting out content. You're an artist. Okay. Content. Sit there with the team. You got a team. You told you have a team. You got a producer there, whatever. How much content am I putting out a week? Oh, I got to pick it up. because you're doing it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much, how many TikToks am I doing a week? Are you on TikTok?
No, I keep hearing about it. I feel like I just have to get on it now.
Hell yeah, you got to get on it, bro. And you just got to be you. You don't, now, if you're a dancer, you dance. I'm not a dancer. Gary's not a dancer. But what you do is you're you. You understand the format. And you just get on and get on. What happens is, bro, you, what you do is like tattoos, bro. Timeless. Timeless. That's why I'm like you. I'm fully tatted. Every time I see a Justin Bieber, I see one of these guys fully tatted, I'm like, yes, it's going to continue. You know, it's not like the trend's going to stop, right?
It's funny. Same. I listened to your other podcast where you and your boy were talking about, you started off, you're like, dude, this tattoo, it's like this 3D portrait. I'll send it to you. It's blow my mind. I was like, I need to know who this, who's this tattooer is talking about. You
know? Well, it's a new style now. It's just a new style now that they're doing. Yeah. He did this dude here in Miami did Jake Paul. He did this. He did that. He's doing a lot of this stuff. But same thing. When I interviewed Logan Paul, same thing, bro. The work ethic. Yeah. He goes, I just so happened to be born in a generation where I've been doing content my whole life. It's, and he's only 24 years old, bro, which is crazy. Now, why haven't we reached out and put a hat in his thing? That's in the future.
Yeah.
You, what you do is just like, it's like your possibilities are endless because everybody wants a hat from you. Bald guys, tall guys, short guys, ugly guys, good-looking guys, athletes, politicians, singers, you name it.
Yeah.
Everybody wants, because everybody wants to feel the vibe of the hat, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You have that.
Mm.
Now it's just, how do you continue to get a no? Continue to get this. Famous YouTuber Eric Decker interviewed him before. He was talking to Logan Paul. At the time, he had 50 subscribers, like 1,500 subscribers. He was trying to get on Logan Paul's team. Before I interviewed Logan, I saw him. I pulled him aside. I go, bro, you got talent. He was 20 years old at the time. You got talent. I hadn't seen his work. Bro, the guy now almost has 1 million subscribers on, on YouTube. He's a beast. And where you beat me is you got a material, bro. If I knew how to make this glove, I would be sending, but you have that gift. Yeah. Now, you can't put yourself out of business, but you could literally, in your little goal thing, go, I'm going to send out to my favorite stars. And then you're going to put, and then you could even go, okay, I'm going to go on TikTok, whoever the top five TikTok people are, I'm going to find the child, do that. Then I'm going to hit a Kardashian. I got to find one Kardashian, one Jenner that I got to put a hat on their thing. And you just start that way. And you see, and you go, bro, in 1.5, 2 years, you'd be, there'd be no stopping you, bro. There'd be no stopping.
That'd be amazing. Yeah. You know, I feel fortunate, you know, and things are moving. And what's crazy is that, you know, every month gets busy. Better,
of course, and, bro, you know, because people start figuring you out. Now you're on this show. We put you on. Now more people start figuring out. Then next thing you know, one day you're going to be on Shop Show. Then it's game over.
Dude, that'd be sweet. You know, this moment happened. This was a few weeks ago. I was dying. I got on Instagram one morning, you know, I'm make up coffee and hanging out with my daughter. And, you know, I was like, oh, I'll check my phone, whatever. Pull up Instagram, right? And it's like, you have like 150 new followers. And I was like, what is going on? Like, what is this, you know? And I just kept going. And my buddy's like, dude, that was so cool how Shab gave you a shout out on a show. And I just go, what are you talking about? And he just sends me the video. And he's like, hey, fast forward to whatever. And I watched it. And he just gave me this full-blown shout out. And I was like, that's amazing. I can't believe that happened, you know? And dude, I would consider Brandon one of my friends. We text back and forth, you know. He's awesome dude. But I still get a little bit blown away, you know what I mean, by stuff like that. Where I'm like, dude, I grew up watching this dude, you know, either kicking ass or getting his ass kicked, you know.
Right.
But you know, and now it's like, you know, that was one of the moments. It was that, and then when I made Billy Gibbons a hat, because my dad's like, a monster ZZ Top fan, right?
Right.
And so I called my dad. I was like, dude, guess who I'm making a hat for? And he's always like, George Strait. And I'm like, no, not dead. George Strait gets paid to wear hats. You know, he's not getting my hat. So I go, I'm making Billy Gibbons a hat. You know, I'm making Brendan a hat. And he was like, really? I was like, that yeah, isn't that crazy? You know, so, but that was just one of those moments, man, where I just was like, what is my life? You know, this dude's talking about his podcast. He doesn't have
it's to. Only beginning, bro. It's yeah. only beginning, man. Cause one people sees it, two people, and then it's going to be crazy, dude. It's going to be crazy. We're gonna link up, bro. I'm gonna give you, how long does it take? Well, you got to fit it first. So next time I'm in the area, if you're in Miami, let me know. But next time I'm, or close by, next time I'm in the area, I'm going to swing by. You'll get me fitted and stuff, and we'll let you hit your magic, brother.
Dude, yeah. And also, too, man, like if you want it sooner, I can just send you, you know, because I do online orders all the time. I can show you just how to measure your head, and that's what gives me the size, right? And then from there, I take the block. That gives me the size, and I just make it happen, you know?
I love it, for so, sure. Yeah. For sure, dude, my brother. Dude, thanks, you can hit me, of course, bro. Anything you need or whatever it is, you shoot me a DM.
I will.
And I got you, man.
I will. Dude, thank you for this, man. This is so awesome. I so appreciate your time and having me come on, man. I've had an awesome, awesome time doing this with you. We got to do it again.
Yes, sir. You're the man. All right, brother.
All right, bro. Take care.
We'll be in touch. All right, dude.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.